Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Jonas, how are you?
We good. You know, we got Thursday Night Football coming up. It's on Fox. We've got the Eagles and the Packers. We've got all sorts of college football this weekend. It is a fun time. The baseball playoffs, if anybody's interested in watching that stuff, the baseball playoffs are right around the corner, Rob Parker.
Boy, next week everything is going to be, right? It'll be great because, and this time, and we'll get into a little baseball playoffs a little later, but the teams... It's loaded. It's stacked. Yeah. Really a lot of good teams that I'm interested in seeing.
And can't you feel the weather start to change a little
bit?
Yes. Starting to get a little bit of a bite in the air. Now, keep in mind, Rob Parker could be in the middle of Tibet in 95-degree weather with mosquitoes the size of Volkswagens buzzing around him, and he's got a sweater on because you're always cold.
In here, it's freezing. I feel like I'm working at a butcher shop. And don't say anything about that.
I was going to say, why?
Be careful.
All the meat hanging around here?
Be careful. Be careful.
Sorry.
Oh, I was going to say it. I'm not going to say it on the air.
This is the problem.
Is that not good? Was that not good?
When we work together, we just get in way too much trouble. That's the problem.
I wasn't going to do it.
And
you
I blame
see what
you.
I did?
And
Things
I blame
have changed.
You.
In the old days, Rob Parker would have said that on the radio. And Elijah's here going,
"Whoa, oh, man.
He doesn't believe what he just heard."
Yeah, Elijah just stepped out for a cigarette.
Yes, unbelievable. Yes, but what a show. Bruce Gradkowski.
I love him.
From Pro Football Focus. We're going to talk to him later on in the show. Greg Jennings, of course, our favorite NFL Fox football analyst and, of course, a Super Bowl champion. We got Trolling and Rolling with Martin Weiss. That's coming up in the final hour of the program. And the former champ, right? Ray Boom Boom Mancini.
Yes.
We'll talk about the Spence Jr. and Porter fight. That's coming up in L.A. This coming Saturday.
Great fight.
Oh, yeah. So we got all that and much more. But first, let me welcome in the Odd Couple crew. Wouldn't be able to do this fine radio program without them.
Well, we could, probably.
Well, probably. I mean, maybe. Yeah. But it wouldn't be as good. Gavin is our producer. Rob G., of course, still on paternity leave. Alex is our engineer. He's rock solid. You know, he's finally given up Colin for us, and he's here every single day.
I told him I can't do it anymore, Rob.
Can't do it. Can't do it.
Won't do it.
You got bigger fish to fry.
You know it.
Our sports anchor is David Gascon.
Oh, God.
He'll keep us updated throughout the program. Why are you ripping on David Gascon?
It's enough gas, man, for once.
Man.
Let
me tell you something. When we had dinner the other night with the radio royalty that you didn't want to show up to.
Oh, yeah. Still waiting for that invite.
You were
still
invited.
Waiting for that one, yeah.
It was so good. We could have stayed there for four more
hours.
That
was great, yeah.
It was good.
Well, yeah, I could have. Would have liked to have been invited, but didn't.
Yeah, you were invited. And, of course, Mike, our intern, Elijah, as I just said, our social media guru, they're all on the other side of the glass. So on this TV theme song Thursday, Jonas,
hell yeah,
let's kick some ass.
Let's do it.
And here we go. All I'm going to say, one word. Greedy.
Yeah. I was going to say dumb.
But greedy.
Yeah.
Would you say that?
Yeah, that works.
They're not happy with all the money they make that the NFL, for whatever reason, they wanted an 18-game schedule, right? The union said no way, no how on that. So the NFL is like, oh, well maybe we'll make it 17 to eliminate, right, preseason games in their entirety.
Yeah.
Why do you think they want, all right, we'll eliminate the preseason games and we got to get another game? Is it because, wait a minute, we're trying to help and the safety of players by not putting them in harm's way, so we're going to take them out of the preseason games and give them one regular season game, or is this all about money?
Less is more. And for some reason, people in sports, especially nowadays, we've got to have more. We've got to have more cameras. We've got to have more options. We've got to have more channels. We've got to have more. Like, people are failing to realize that when NFL owners are proposing this 17-game schedule, we want 17 games instead of, we get it. They want more money. To your point, it's greedy. But they're also failing to realize what makes the NFL and college football so much better than the other sports in this aspect. You may like the NBA better. You may like Major League Baseball better. But this is one thing you cannot dispute. Every game feels like a big deal. Every single one.
Unless you're in Miami.
And,
well, I know
right,
what you mean.
Right. Well, for the other team it is.
You know what I mean.
But
I get you.
The point is, there are so few games that it feels like a much bigger deal than it really is. Like, ask yourself this. When there's a big-time college football game, don't the college football players look more devastated after they lose an NFL game?
Well, because they know, too. And in college football, you lose a game and you're done.
Basically, your
season's over.
And when there's more on the line.
You could dress it up and talk about all the other stuff, but you know you're done.
And when there's more on the line, you get better action. You don't get load management like you do in the NBA.
I'll give you this. This is the same reason, and this is the only reason. It has nothing to do with college basketball. But the tournament, one and done, heightens everything.
100%.
It just does. It's like the whole thing about, I always say this, you love ice cream, right?
Yeah.
Until you start working at the ice cream factory.
Yeah, you're over it.
Then it's like, I'll get some tomorrow. You know, it's not the same thing when you can only get it. It just changes everything.
I worked at TGI Fridays for like 5.5 years. I was a busboy. And there was some good stuff they had on the menu. I'd rather eat a sewer rat blindfolded and assume that it's corn on the cob than go eat over there. And it has nothing to do with their food. I'm just tired of it. I had too much of it.
You had too much of it. You ate it.
It's too much. And the idea that the owners want 17 games, I get it. You want more money. But why don't we fix what we've got before we add on more?
And I'll say this. If I'm the union, players union, and I have zero confidence in D'Amore Smith, and just the people over there. Okay,
nobody has confidence in that.
Zero, because they don't know what they don't seem to be know what they're doing, and they get turned over like every labor negotiation, basically.
That's what? That's all right. Listen,
my point is, they always are on the losing end of it, plain and simple.
Absolutely.
And here's my thing: if we're even going to discuss adding another game, we need guaranteed contracts. That's the only way I would even entertain putting the players in harm's way, another get anything. It would have to be about guarantee. You're not talking about a guaranteed contract. Don't talk to us about adding another game.
And here's the other thing, and it's just a simple question to people listening to this right now. The immediate answer is going to be, yes, I want another regular season game. Understand, though, that when you add more, it takes away from the others, which means your interest is going to wane each week because you feel like, well, we lost that one. Don't even worry about it. There's another one around the corner. We've got makeup time here. It's the same thing with the college football playoff. For everybody out there saying, it's unfair only four teams get in. We've got to extend it to eight. All right, well, then what you do is you make all those big-time games during the regular season or in the conference championship games seem that much less important because now you've got wiggle room. You can afford to lose a game and get back into the playoff.
And I'll give you the other example. We've seen it. For the longest, the NBA, because half the league makes the playoffs, the regular season doesn't
become... It's crap.
It's not as important.
It's not.
I'm sorry. You can sit here and, you can't wait for that October game or whatever, but you know... Until we get to April, right? That's when it all starts. Because you eliminate half the teams. It's not like there's only four NBA teams making the playoffs. Then I'd have to watch, wouldn't I?
Here's another one example for you. If you had season tickets to either a Major League Baseball team, an NBA team, or an NFL team, which team are you more likely to go see every single time? The NFL, because you only get eight of them. And in some cases, you get less than eight because they're traveling over to London to play in that stadium over there.
Or the moon, like Jacksonville. Yeah. They have two games on the moon every year.
Yeah, and they've got a tarp and a swimming pool in their top deck. I mean, but honestly, when you realize that you only have a small amount of something, you appreciate it more. And if we're going to continue to extend things or add in more, we're not going to appreciate it as more. I know the easy answer to this is, we want more football. Stop. Understand what makes football great. Understand what makes college football great. You get it on a limited capacity. You don't get multiple games a week. It's appointment television for a reason.
What was that other league that came out for a couple of weeks? And right after the Super Bowl, people can't wait for football. That's all. No. People said, no, I'm good. I want to see, first of all, top quality football, right?
Yeah.
Not just any football. And number two, I'm fine when the Super Bowl is over and I've watched the whole year and everything. I'll take a break.
Yeah.
I'm ready to get into the NBA even more, and then I'm ready for baseball to start. I'm college basketball, March Madness. I'm okay. I got plenty to watch. I don't need minor league or lower level football, and people didn't buy it. That league almost didn't make payroll the second week. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean,
I can't remember the name of that league.
Let me tell you something.
Was that the crap football league?
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
The DFL, the diarrhea football league.
It was.
You want to know how bad off the AAF was? All right, this is how bad off the AAF was. They had to borrow money from an NHL owner because they couldn't make their rent. Okay, like when your boss is calling you up saying, hey, would you mind not cashing that check until Tuesday after like 6:30? Anybody that's been through that knows that's the first signal that this whole thing's going down.
Or,
there's water in the boat and everybody's going
to
drown.
Or when they get paid, people race to the bank. You don't want to be last because there might not be enough money in the account.
Exactly, yes.
Like you're
exactly.
Like, where you got? As soon as they hand it to you, you run to the bank.
And in fact, you use a diversionary tactic. Like, hey, man, someone's breaking into your car.
Exactly.
And then you run to yours to go get to the bank. I just think, look, if you are a fan of how the NFL is and college football is, because it's appointment television, because you've got to, every game matters and every game counts, if you're a fan of that, you should absolutely not want more games in the NFL. Absolutely not. Keep it the way that it is. It's fine the way that it is. Just improve what you got. If that means officiating, if that means the television experience,
yes.
If that means the in-game experience, that's fine. We don't need more of something that's still not perfect at all at this point anyways.
Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to check us out live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Please tell me about Antonio Brown.
Yeah, we got a little bit of a feud. So Antonio Brown sent a tweet out, Rob Parker, that said, the game need me, I'm like test answers. Golden Tate responded with, what? And Eric Weddle responded with a little something. So this led to a back and forth between Eric Weddle and Antonio Brown. So somebody reached out to Eric Weddle and said, Weddle, you can't guard AB over the top or man. Weddle said, I don't need to guard him. He isn't on a team. Antonio Brown responded with, I'm glad I gave you a stiff arm on your neck in Pittsburgh.
You
deserved it, Lil Weddle. By the way, I thought Lil Weddle was what your ex called you, Rob Parker. No. Never mind that. And so Eric Weddle responded with, when are you going to learn this isn't about you? Never was and never will be. Got a game to get ready for. Good luck, my guy. Antonio Brown responded with the following. Quote, bro, I don't even know you. Don't call me AB. That's my NFL name, dummy. I'm not on your team. Never been. Shut your mouth, jabroni. And Eric Weddle responded with, you're not making any sense, bud. Glad you're not on my team. Call yourself whatever you want. Doesn't matter one bit to me. Good luck at CMU, my bro. So, little Eric Weddle versus Antonio Brown there.
I'm going to tell you this. I don't get it. What if you're Eric Weddle, why? Forget AB. Why? Why? Why are you responding to anything that he's tweeting?
I don't get anybody.
And you're going to bash somebody who's out of the league without a job? Seriously.
I don't get anybody that feuds with anybody on Twitter.
I don't get it.
How do you have the energy to do it? I don't have the energy. I don't know how people can go back and forth. And there are people in our business, and God bless them, who can sit there and have a back and forth for what feels like hours
Rich
over
Eisen
Twitter.
Rich Eisen sent me something on Twitter, like some mean text or something.
Why?
I don't know. He didn't He didn't like something I tweeted about Jim Harbaugh. I guess he went to Michigan,
yeah.
So he got all worked up because Michigan got worked over like a burger and fries on Saturday.
Let me tell you something. Gavin, our executive producer, calls me the Jim Harbaugh washer. Okay, the Harbaugh washer.
Yes.
A little play on words.
Great
there
nickname.
Because I defend Jim Harbaugh to no end.
After Saturday,
yeah,
too?
Let me tell you something. When you go out off a bye week and you get piped like that on national television, there is no defending it. There is no defending it. They got steamrolled. There is no defending that
one. It was non-competitive.
And if you take offense to criticism of that game, then you're just a fanboy. Bottom line. Like, you got to be honest here.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
Right now, though, he is a Super Bowl champion. He is a Fox NFL analyst, and he is kind enough to spend a few minutes with us here on Fox Sports Radio. He is Greg Jennings.
Greg Jennings.
Jonas and Rob, what's happening, man?
What's up, Greg?
What's happening, fellas?
Now, I just want to ask you, because we were talking about this Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur relationship, and the offense has sputtered, and I know that he's learning a new offense, and they're trying to incorporate some new things, but have you personally, from what you've seen of Aaron Rodgers, have you seen any sort of slip in his ability or his athleticism or anything that leads you to believe that maybe we're just going to have to get used to a new Aaron Rodgers?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. I feel like I'm picking up a couple things, with number one, his lack of desire to really get outside the pocket and make things happen with his legs, as well as accuracy. He's been a little inaccurate from the years past and what we've come to know him as being, both in the pocket and out of the pocket. And again, that could be a culmination of a couple of things: him not quite being comfortable in that offense, or with what's going on as far as what the defense is showing him, or it can be that he is starting to slip, which no one in Green Bay Packerland and Cheeseland will ever want to admit to the fact that Aaron Rodgers is starting to decline a little bit. But it just is a natural thing that every player encounters, and I believe he's hitting that.
Yeah, I'm not so sure yet. I just got to see a little bit more before I want to watch him this season before I can determine which way he's going. How big of a game? That's it. You know what I mean? He's been hurt a couple years, some other stuff. So I just want to see a little bit more before. And again, with the new coach, and maybe, you know, people said that Aaron doesn't want to take coaching and he doesn't want to listen. And now it looks like he's buying in and they're running the ball a little bit more. And now people are saying he can't play. So I don't know how you win. But anyway, a bigger game for who tonight? Packers, you know, this would be a 4-0. It'd be a great start to the season. Or the Eagles, 1-2, with the Cowboys 3-0. It's a big game for the Eagles.
Yeah, it's definitely a bigger game for the Philadelphia Eagles. When you look at that division, the Cowboys are running away with that division, primarily because no one is stepping up and winning ball games outside of the Dallas Cowboys. And there comes a point in the season where you can get far enough behind to where you're not even in contention. I don't care how great of a team you are, but with some of the injuries that the Philadelphia Eagles are enduring right now early in the season, and they'll get some guys back in the weeks to come, they have to win. This is a must win. You don't want to fall three games back behind the Dallas Cowboys, pending what they do on Sunday. So it's definitely a bigger game for the Philadelphia Eagles.
And in the game, if you're not watching,
yeah, Jamal Williams has been knocked out of the game.
And he's on a stretcher and they're taking him off, so hopefully he'll be all right.
Yeah, and it was Derek Barnett. He was being held up, and Derek Barnett came in and went helmet to helmet, and Jamal Williams went basically out cold.
He crumbled.
And they didn't eject Derek Barnett. And Greg, you know how this works. If it's a standalone game, when everybody's watching this, the outrage is going to be over the top. There are plays like this that happen every single week, but it's mixed in with a bunch of other games, so we don't hear a lot about it. I think Derek Barnett, and I think the NFL is going to be put on notice because of a play like this.
Jonas, you hit the nail right on the head. A lot of times when you typically watch these games, the Sunday night games, the Monday night games, the games that are nationally televised where they have an isolated game with a national audience watching just that game, the refs are already told to approach the game with a little different just because of that. Like, they want to put out a good product, both officiating as well as the game that it's played with two teams going head-to-head. So anytime you get a hit like that, what we just saw, it's going to be put on notice, and someone has to send out that letter, whether he gets ejected from the game or gets a penalty, which we didn't see that. There might be a fine. There's going to be something because of what we just saw.
And did you see that play right there?
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers with a nice throw.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that'll be his longest completion of the game.
Rob, Rob, let me.
I'm talking to Jonas. I'm talking to Jonas.
Oh yeah, like when I say I'm coming from a perspective on being with him early on and seeing his height.
Right.
Like I trust me, I know that he's not that player. But when people say you're losing a step or you're falling off, it doesn't mean you're no good.
Right.
It's really subjective to who knows you the best. And that's where I come from, a place of where I know him, and he would never admit to it.
No, I get that.
He shouldn't.
And I understand why players wouldn't want to say that.
I'm with you when guys start talking about he is not elite anymore,
right.
And Bucky. Yeah, I'm not there.
Hey, Greg, I wanted to ask you, Greg Jennings with us here on Fox Sports Radio, Jonas Knox, Rob Parker in for Chris Broussard. I wanted to just go back quickly. When you mentioned, you know, officials, if it's a standalone game like this, they want to put out the best product possible. So maybe they'll call the game a little bit differently. Did you feel that in playing the game, or did officials communicate that to you before games, if it was a primetime game like this, that it was going to have a little bit of a different feel and we were going to call it a little bit differently than if it was a game mixed in the typical noon central, 1 p.m. Eastern time slot on a Sunday?
Well, you really kind of know based on the officiating crew. Every team has a script of who's going to be calling and officiating that game. And so you kind of know their tendencies and how they like the games to run. But then if you're playing in a primetime game, obviously there are a lot more eyeballs on you. And so the league is across the board, from uniform check to making sure the sidelines are back and just little things like that, to where they tighten up on officiating to make sure they have control of the game. And that's the main thing. They don't ever want to lose control of the game when they have that national audience. And so when you get those noon games, sometimes they'll let hits go, they'll let little things go because it's not a national audience.
Hey, Greg, the league wanted 18 games. The union said no thank you. Now the league wants 17 games. And if you're the union, and I have a problem with the NFL's players' union because I think it's just not strong enough to stand up to the owners, but if there's any more regular season games, shouldn't the players hold out for some sort of guaranteed contracts or make the owners give them something more?
Yeah, you would think that that would be the approach of every player that would have to suit up and thinking of being on a roster. If I'm going to be asked to play an additional game, which puts my body in a place of additional harm, then there has to be a heightened incentive of why I would do that. Like, you're not going to give me the same thing that I'm doing for 16 games for 17.
Thank you.
Not going to happen.
Right, where there's a chance that you could be seriously hurt and your career be over with another chance at another game.
Absolutely.
He is Greg Jennings, Super Bowl champion, Fox NFL analyst. You see him on Fox Sports 1 all the time, and you hear him here on Fox Sports Radio, at Greg Jennings on Twitter. Greg, thanks so much, man. We appreciate the time.
Absolutely, guys.
Appreciate
it.
Yeah, 7-0 Packers if you're just tuning in.
Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Right now, the Eagles just scored. It's 10-7 Eagles, and we have that touchdown.
Ball at the 6. Wentz looking, fires, complete, touchdown. He's got his man, Alshon Jeffery.
And that was from WIP, the Eagles radio network.
So touchdown, Eagles.
We got a ball game. It's 10-7, 10 and a half minutes to go in the first half.
Well, the touchdown, Eagles!
Is that your Harry Carey impression?
I'm really good at doing impersonations of announcers. You want to hear my Harry Carey, Rob Parker?
I was pretty good. I liked it.
Hi, club fans. Rob Parker up to bat. You know, Parker spelled backwards is Crowley.
Hi, everybody. Harry Carey here.
That's pretty good.
Chris Collinsworth.
Speaking of,
I mean, I gotta tell you, I mean, this Rob Parker, every time he turns on the mic, there's some sort of a back and forth, and he's got like, you're the Wahote, the Wabote, the this boat. I mean, rock this boat, whatever it is. Rob Parker, golly,
that's pretty good.
Yeah,
you know what? I go so far back in Cincinnati. He used to have a talk show in Cincinnati. Did you know that?
Yes, his with Andy Furman. They had a show together a long, long time ago.
Yes, yeah. And I used to I'd be on his show back then before he went to do the national football stuff. And he's pretty good.
Talk about a guy who figured out his post-playing career broadcasting-wise. He's fantastic.
He really is.
And doesn't pull punches. We'll tell it how it is.
And speaking of Cincinnati, I do want to like just give a shout-out to Marty Brenneman. After 46 years, today was his last game doing Cincinnati Reds games. Mm-hmm. What a great guy, great broadcaster. And I'm going to give you my quick Marty Brenneman story. Ryan Sandberg
I'm going to step out. I'll be at the liquor store.
No, Ryan Sandberg, you'll love this. Ryan Sandberg had an errorless streak going. And so we're in Cincinnati in the press box at Wrigley Field. And Ryan Sandberg misplays a ball. Plain and simple. I don't know what else to call it. They called it a hit, the official scorer.
Of course they did.
Right? They called it so to keep his streak alive. Yeah. You know what Marty did? Marty, I could see him from the press box. I can look to where the broadcast booth is. He takes his headphones off. He slams them on the desk. He walks into the press box. And he says, that's horse bleep, blah, blah, blah. No wonder the MF-er has an errorless streak. I mean, it was unbelievable. And here's Marty Brenneman today, his final game, Reds broadcaster after 46
again,
years.
Again, I want to reiterate what I said earlier. I don't feel like that all the hullabaloo that has been created over me retiring has been misplaced. I feel like the people that welcomed me into this city, when I came in 1974 and have maintained that love and affection through all these years, they're the ones that I should be giving back to rather than they give to me. And I'm proud to say that I'll be here until the day that they pass muster on me for the final time. I'm proud to say I'm a Cincinnatian. And for those who are here today and for those who are listening wherever they might be, just know how much you're loved. And how much you're appreciated. That's all I got.
That is so heartfelt.
It is. It
really, really is.
Yeah, that's So why didn't he return your text again?
He's busy. I'm sure he's busy with what's going on. And Marty Brenneman, someone was telling me,
I've heard nothing but good things about him.
Great guy.
Yeah.
Just an absolutely great guy. Mm-hmm. But I believe, are you ready for this? He replaced Al Michaels.
Yeah, that's right.
Isn't that the story?
Al Michaels was the broadcaster there, and Marty Brenneman took over in the 70s and all the way through this time. I mean, think about how much has happened since then. That's crazy.
46 years. What a you can understand why he's so emotional. And God bless Marty Brenneman. His son Tom Brenneman does the football games for Fox. I know Tom real well. And when I first came to Cincinnati, open arms, helped me. Just a great guy.
And there's something about the voices that are the soundtrack for your youth when you grow up. You never forget them. And you can remember just sort of how, that's what I associate with. And I guess maybe it's more, not as much nowadays because a lot of the great longtime broadcasters have moved on. But I grew up we didn't have much of anything growing up. We grew up poor. But when WGN became an option for us,
right,
and we got to watch the Cubs.
It was
and we
a
got
big
to hear
deal, wasn't it?
Harry Carey, who called every home game, and it was Josh Lewin who did the road games. But every time there was a home game, just getting to hear about this guy that you heard about your whole life and you actually got to hear him, it was awesome. Like, you genuinely looked forward to it. And we're talking generations, for years and years, 40-something years, people have grown up in Cincinnati listening to Marty Brenneman, and now there's just a changing of the guard. It's different.
End of an era. Just like when Vince Scully called it quits here in Los Angeles. You know, it's the same thing. People were heartbroken. You know, yeah. The first time I ever came out to Dodger Stadium to cover a game, and this was what was so incredible, was when you walk amongst the crowd, everybody had a radio playing Vin Scully.
Yep.
They were at the game, but they still wanted to hear Vin Scully. Yep. How many times have you ever heard that? That's incredible.
And it's you remember the old Steve Bartman. You remember when that play happened in Chicago? You remember the costume everybody dressed up as? The costume was Steve Bartman wearing the headphones and the Walkman, and that was part of his costume. And the thing that never got talked about is that he was such a legitimate fan that he had to hear the radio call of what was happening while it was going on. And that wasn't just that wasn't just an only in the playoffs things for Dodger fans. They did that every game.
Every game.
Every single game, because they had to hear Vin's voice.
Even though they were at the ballpark.
Yeah. Yep.
Right. That's what made the game. All right, real quick, I wanna ask you about the Trout Bregman thing for AL MVP. Do you eliminate a guy because he couldn't finish the season and wind up, his numbers are, he had a spectacular season. I mean, that's why he was in the race. And does Bregman have the edge because of it?
He's going to miss, how many games of the season is Mike Trout going to miss? 20 games? About 20 games?
Yeah, I think it's, yeah.
That's big enough for me that I would be willing to dock him on something like that. But I will also acknowledge, and you know this, that when there's a really tight vote on something like that, they're going to use whatever they can as a process of elimination. And I think he's going to be eliminated because of that. I think the same thing happened. You remember a couple of years ago, Derek Carr was in the conversation for MVP, and he got hurt the second to last game of the season in the game. And because of that, they said, oh, he's done for MVP. And I thought to myself, well, wait a second. He probably wasn't going to play the last game anyway. So you're telling me because of two quarters, all of a sudden he's out? Like, that's just how this works?
But
this is a bigger sample size, and I think there's enough there for them to want to dock him on that.
It cost Carson Wentz the MVP.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz was hurt and missed 2.5 games, right? He was hurt.
I think it was more than that.
No. He was hurt in the first half. He missed the second half of the game.
Week 14, was
yep.
it?
And,
okay,
then, and right. then he missed the last two games. He still had more touchdowns and less interceptions than Brady, but Brady won the MVP because he played the entire season.
Yeah, but when it comes down to difficult votes like that, I always make the same comparison. If you're hiring somebody and you've got two really good candidates, and it's a really tough decision, sometimes you just go, all right, who's going to screw this up first? And if you see one person's resume is a little bit sloppier than the other ones as far as their spelling, you eliminate that person to justify in your mind why you made the decision, when the reality is it's too close to call, but you're looking for a reason to cut somebody out.
Yeah.
That's what will happen.
It's a tough spot. And
do you have a vote for that? You have a vote for the Hall of Fame, right?
Right, the Hall of Fame. No. Most of the votes go to the beat writers who cover the teams in different cities, and they mix it around so that it's not the same all the time. You know, the same guys voting for it.
When are you going to say? When are you guys going to start voting in some of those guys that were on the gas when they played? PEDs.
It's coming. Yeah, they've voted some in already.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.